following is a digital media production.
Hey guys, awesome episode coming at you. Tons of fraternity questions with one of my old frat bros. Check it out, share with friends, get ready for some hot sauce. J-Train Podcast. This is J-Train, Jared Freed, coming to you live from New York City's Upper West Side. Stand Up New York Labs are here every Tuesday and Friday with your emails, your questions, your stories every single week, twice a week. And I want to thank you, the listener, for getting involved with this podcast. It's been a while since I've taped one. We backlogged a lot of episodes before I left for LA and Reno and Binghamton and Nyack. So want to thank you guys for listening and all the great snaps I've gotten since we made the name change. It's been amazing. Keep sending me those Snapchats of you guys listening. It literally tickles my nuts every time I get a snap of a guy or chick listening to the podcast. Send it to me, JTrain56 on Snapchat. I am super pumped to be here because it's been a while, and I'm super pumped to have our guest today. You've asked for him to come back, and I bring him to you, my fraternity brother, Benjo.
Glad to be back.
It's been a while. But I get emails all the time, bring back your frat brothers.
Here I am.
So this is going to be a specifically fratty episode. We have a lot of fraternity, you know, related questions, and we're going to go kind of pop through them a little bit.
Great. By the way, you mentioned your trip to LA, Reno, Binghamton, and Nyack.
Nyack,
just like down the road.
Down the road, 40 minutes away. Well, yeah. It felt like one big.
I mean, that's a big trip.
Quite a tour. You don't hear Reno and Nyack in the same sentence.
You don't.
A lot. I want to say thank you, though, to the people in Reno. All these people, I did a show at Nevada, Reno. What a school! Reno is the most disgusting town in America, but the school that I didn't realize, I thought when I was at Nevada Reno campus, I thought it was going to be like, you know, like Penn State Altoona. It was going to be like
a little branch campus.
Yeah. I thought that. No, it's actually the Wolfpack. It's like the Nevada.
That's not Colin Kaepernick, is it?
Yes.
Oh.
Kaepernick's old school.
That's the only thing that I could possibly say about
exactly.
That.
Yeah. And Brian Polian, he's Bill Polian's son, coaches the football team. And I like knew, and I was like, I didn't know this was that Nevada.
There's no college in Nyack.
No, there's no college in Nyack. That was at the Levity
Lodge.
Not as
much fun.
But you got. I gotta say, there's been. I went to the bar. The bar scene there is pretty fucking good.
Yeah,
it's pretty good. I went to one bar. I bought a hat that's coming in the mail. But people in the bar, they're like, dude, J-Train. Listen to the podcast. Like, nice. I couldn't believe it. So it's very cool that you guys are getting into this. Please send in your emails. Keep sending them in. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. That's JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. We're here with my fraternity brother, Benjo. He is, okay, so listen, I've mentioned it on the podcast before. People always ask me where to go in New York City. Here's where you go. It's a bar called Hair of the Dog. My buddy Benjo happens to be one of the owners of this bar. If you could explain the bar in one sentence, how would you explain it?
College in New York City.
Yes.
Except, you know, you're asking for one sentence. It's hard to do that justice.
I'll give you three sentences.
You know, for a little plug, everybody has their favorite college bar.
Totally.
And, you know, when we went to Penn State, it was the G-Man.
Totally.
And in every other college town, there's NYU's a little different. It's a big town, and everybody kind of has their places that they like in New York City. But this is the quintessential college bar in New York City.
And here's the thing. You're going to bring up, someone's going to say, where should we go? You're not going to be the coolest dude for saying, let's go to Hair of the Dog. But you will have, that's the place to be. Yeah. That's like the base of your New York City trip.
We're not asking you to throw down your black card or get crazy. I mean, for a couple shekels, you can go in there and
get pretty fucked
and
up.
And get pretty banged up.
Listen, this is what we're going to do for you. Since I am a friend to all of the listeners here, and Benjo is a friend of this podcast, we're going to give you what us Jews call a deal.
Yeah.
And you can go into Hair of the Dog, mention the J-Train podcast, to anyone that works at the bar, you get a free drink in any Thursday in March.
Yep.
Free booze from me to you. That means, hey, I'm giving you a free drink. Any Thursday in March, you go to Hair of the Dog, you mention the J-Train podcast, you get a free drink from your old Uncle J-Train. Papa JT just hooked you up.
That's big time.
With Benjo. So you're welcome. And now in exchange for that, you can go tell one friend about this podcast. That's what you can do right now.
Got to do it.
Tickle my nuts. Tell one friend. Tell them. Get them subscribed on iTunes. Are you ready to do the emails?
Let's do it.
Go follow Hair of the Dog on Instagram at Hair of the Dog NYC on Instagram at Hair of the Dog NYC on Instagram. Go follow them, support them. Go into their bar any Thursday in March. Get a free drink if you mention the J Train podcast. Bar, and speaking of bars,
we're also happy to do that in March because January and February in the drinking world,
sure,
it's like hell froze over. Like everybody goes from December where they're drinking
going hard,
everything.
Yeah.
To January where it just like everything dries up.
Well, January, and then a lot of people like
Sober January. Bro.
Yeah. And it's like a lot of dudes will follow chicks on
they
that.
They start eating kale.
Yeah, it's horrible.
You know, juice cleanses.
I mean, that's a thing where guys are only doing, they follow their dick. It's like the toucan Sam effect.
Totally. You're gonna,
so they see girls are doing no drink January. Like, okay, I can relax now. The girls have gone away.
Totally.
Going to hibernation.
Yep.
You know, start whacking off four times
and
a
then,
day.
Oh, the Super Bowl just ended. No more football. Totally got to dry out.
No,
then,
March is the time to turn it up.
March Madness, St. Paddy's Day.
And I think we're going to do a live podcast. We just discussed that we're going to do a live podcast from Hair of the Dog on St. Paddy's Day.
Yeah.
So if you guys want to come out to that, if you're in New York City that weekend, Thursday the 17th, we're gonna do it.
March Madness tips off that day too.
So we're gonna have March Madness live J Train podcast at Hair of the Dog on the 17th. A lot of information in the first 5 minutes of this podcast, but let's go to the emails. You ready?
Let's do it.
Bar convo to hookup. So you are at Hair of the Dog on a nightly basis. You witness hookups every night.
I do.
So you
that's
know
the place you go.
That's where you go to hook up. Totally. That's why I know this audience.
Yeah.
Trust me on Hair of the Dog. I go there. I show up there many a 2 a.m.
Sure. So, and by the way, it could be 2 p.m.
It could be 2 p.m. This is true also. I'm a raging alcoholic is what we're saying. Hi, J Train. I am a very unlikely female listener and even less likely to email this sort of podcast. But I love listening every week, and I think you do an amazing job getting into people's heads and giving advice. I'm a senior at a small private school in the Midwest. Last week at a bar, I was talking to a guy that I've hooked up with a few times in the past, and conversation was great. However, as someone who's not outgoing or forward, I got flustered and walked away mid-conversation. This happens to me a lot at parties, and my conversations with guys tend to be really friendly in nature and never amount to a hookup. Please people classify me as the cute one, and I don't think guys view me as someone who is trying to hook up. It's also hard because I go out to have a great time with my friends, but I'd also like to leave with someone too. What should I do or say to these guys that I don't want to just pointless small talk / did I ruin all chances with the guy from last week? Thank you. What does she do?
That's a good question. But honestly, every guy, every single guy that's going to the bar is going to get laid.
They want to leave the bar with a girl.
Yeah. And so all you have to do is just stay in the conversation.
Stay in it. Stick it out.
Yeah.
Stick it out through the tough.
Yeah.
And through the tough what do you do for work moments.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Like now when you graduate, it's where did you go to school?
Yeah.
Or, you know, where did you do for work? Or what's your major?
Totally.
Like all of those questions are asked. Get through the five bullshit questions. And then you're in. If you walk away and you're like, oh, I have to see if my friend's in the bathroom, or like, I might, wait, hold on 1 second. I need to go have a cigarette outside. Then, you know, you're just being lame.
Totally agree.
Just stay there.
I also get caught in this situation a lot where it's like, and it happens a lot on dating apps, and there are those five questions. What do you do? Where are you from? What was your major? Anytime you're at a bar, you have those normal conversational questions that are just trying to get you through to really getting to know the person, which comes in those questions that you don't know about.
I'll tell you this.
Yeah.
Is that sometimes as a bartender, I see a guy and a girl and I'm like, holy shit, how is this guy going to end up with this girl?
How is he pulling this?
Yeah. And it starts with like usually a round of Fireball.
Okay.
To like a few vodka sodas.
And Fireball, you know, anyone who's out there being like, I fucking hate Fireball. Women can take a Fireball
shot. That's why it's around.
That's why
it was invented.
Yeah. It's literally there because a girl will be like, well, I could do a Fireball.
Right.
I'm not going to do Jameson. I'm not trying to get date raped here.
Exactly.
You know, like, they want something safe and simple and sweet that won't make them regret that they're living on Earth.
In the old days, 3 years ago,
yes,
it was like, hey, chicks, round of shots. And they're like, ew, I don't want a round of shots.
Yes.
But now it's like, hey, chicks, round of Fireball. And
totally.
Immediately, the the 10 girl is now looking at the 5 dude.
Exactly.
Right?
And he's a dude who likes to have fun.
Yeah.
He's, you know, so I think this is kind of what I'm getting at, is that you need to go from normal conversation to a little bit weird.
Yeah.
You got to take it into like fun zone at some point. And I, what she's saying is very common. It happens to me all the time. What do you do? Where are you from?
Right.
And sometimes you're just not talking to the right person.
Right.
And you got to fucking abort.
And you got to know when to do that.
And you got to know when to do that. If you can't get past to something that is not, where are you from? What do you do? What's your major? I always, you know, the move I would do, I just did this with a chick on, I met a chick on Bumble. And now we're texting, and she spells her name weird, okay? And I was like, that's how you spell Lauren?
Sure.
You spell Lauren with a Y? What is wrong with you? Now we're talking about something that's completely off the radar. She's never had this conversation before. Yeah. And I know you're saying, oh, that's such a small thing, but it's just different enough that you are now not the guy she's talked to a million other times.
Also, something that I've seen work, make fun of yourself a little bit.
Self-deprecation goes a long way.
Self-deprecation is huge.
That's a dude thing, too.
Yeah. Like you're not going to be like, do your armpits start to sweat a little bit when you talk to...
Yeah, girls don't do that. When a girl... the girls don't go up and be like, oh, look at these small titties.
Right,
No, don't do that.
Exactly.
A guy goes self-deprecating. A girl... start talking big game. I want confidence.
Yep.
I want girl being like, you don't do a shot?
Right.
Are you serious?
Yep.
I want her wanting the party to, you know, get a little weird. Guy can go down self-deprecation alley.
Yep.
Girl, you go high road.
And by the way,
I know what to do with your dick way.
Yeah. And you know what else is awesome? At a party bar especially, start dancing. Just
dance.
Start moving.
Just,
you know, you're
move.
You're screaming over the music. It's kind of hard.
I was at Hair of the Dog on at Sunday night.
Yeah.
It's like midnight and I'm just watching these girls dance. I must look like the biggest fucking creep. And I'm watching them and I'm like, I'm into all of you. I want all of you at once, one after the other. No shower.
Right.
I want you after a bad workout.
Yes.
I didn't care.
Yep.
It didn't matter. And I'm looking at them dancing. I'm like, and I need to talk to them. They look fun. What can I say to them? And I just start throwing out, you know, I always say the side comment. To start a new conversation. Why won't they play Shaggy? You know, and then the girl starts laughing.
That's a great question.
And yeah, why aren't we playing more
but
Shaggy?
But you know, the great thing about the dance, especially if, let's say you start talking to the guy and the conversation has kind of gotten past those stupid 5 questions at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And then you do your shot of Fireball, you have the vodka soda in your hand, and then you just start dancing. Now, you don't need to talk at all because both of you are dancing and it's like, hey, do you want a what?
Yeah.
And then everybody's like, what?
Yes.
And then you just start kissing.
Start making out. And here's the thing, travel. You got to travel.
Yeah.
Go from one bar and at like 2 a.m, 1 a.m, wherever, before closing time, see if you can get a yes for another bar that might be quieter or different or better. Because just her, him saying, yes, I'll leave my group, that's saying yes to you, that's saying yes to that they feel safe with you. Travel. Take it from one bar to the next. And then that third bar is the one at your house.
Yep.
That's the move. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Here with Benjo from Hair of the Dog on Stanton and Orchard in NYC. Every Thursday in March, you get a free drink for mentioning the JTrain Podcast at Hair of the Dog NYC on Instagram. Go follow them. Transferring and joining another chapter. These are going to be a lot more fratty emails. We have a lot of fraternity talk that we can do with you. Dear Choo Choo. Also, Chris, I fucking love the Mandatory Samson podcast. You and Joey keep doing what you're doing. There you
go,
man.
That is awesome. Thank you, sir.
So I transferred from a tiny Christian Catholic whatever-ass school in the Midwest to a larger, less Christian Catholic whatever-ass school
in the Midwest. First of all, that's number one smart move.
Yeah, you made the right decision there.
You made a big mistake and then corrected it.
The problem is that everyone I've talked to said that my fraternity's chapter at the school has a reputation of being creepy. Creepy, greasy-ass bunch of degenerates. They sound pretty great to me.
Creepy and greasy are different.
Yeah, and also
greasy is dirty is Jersey Shore.
Yes.
For those that used to watch that
sure.
on MTV.
Yeah.
And creepy is just what every frat guy is.
Yeah, that's it. To me,
yeah.
when the Christian college says that the fraternity's creepy, I'm like, yeah, that's the one I want to be.
Yeah. Come on.
These guys mix like shit and strawberry shortcake. But now it's been a semester and I'm debating whether or not to reach out to them. I love the party scene where we created at my old school, which is something I sorely miss while at this newer school, not involved with Greek life. I have absolutely no idea what to do in this situation. Have you ever had a transfer brother join your chapter?
I mean, that's a great question.
Yeah.
First of all, yes, we did. And
we
that
did.
Guy fit in great. I
great.
Mean, he was a perfect fit for us.
And he, you know what about him? I'll say, you know, this is a good friend of ours.
Yeah.
He was different than the guys that normally got in the
yeah.
house. Like he added, you know, he was like a
yeah, everybody in the house was let's just say Dave Matthews, Fish, Grateful Dead,
yeah.
and he was Nirvana, Metallica,
totally
Pearl Jam.
But also it was like a night
there's a huge disparity, but you
but
get
it was just
a little bit more of an edge.
Just enough.
Yeah.
You know, it was a little bit of Old Bay on the French fries,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
and
yeah.
it's a having him in the house was great because it was like a added bonus.
Yeah.
You had a voice that you never, maybe never would have had.
Right.
And the way this guy describes that house, maybe it needs some substance that he could bring.
Yeah. You know, that worked out really well for us.
Yeah.
You know, my originally, and I would say go with your gut, but leave yourself open a little bit on this one. You when you transferred, you had a bad feeling about this house.
Yes.
And not and as we know, not and because the fraternity that we belonged to was very cool at Penn State.
Yeah.
But it was
we one time
interesting around the rest of the country.
They would come and visit from other schools because for some reason our fraternity at Penn State like became known as like, oh, you gotta do your trip.
Yeah.
Remember all the
Bolt.
Schools
the
you gotta do
trip.
Your Bolt trip to
yeah.
our house, and then we would be like, get the fuck yeah. out.
How did we get the agriculture fraternity to stay with us for this weekend?
Yeah, I
for
remember.
The best football weekend of the year.
Exactly. Now we gotta fucking take care of them.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I hear what you're saying is like, go in like you're going into a cold ocean.
Yeah.
Put a toe in first.
Yeah.
You don't have to become these guys' best friends. Make it an option for you, at least because what he's saying is he wants that party that he's missing,
right.
You might get there and be like, I don't really fit in.
And by the way, if it's a house, let's just say of 50 guys,
yeah,
and 42 of them kind of suck,
yeah,
but 8 of them are pretty cool, find your niche.
There you go.
And there, you know, you have your opening, then you have your party scene, you have your Greek life,
totally.
You don't have to hang out with those 42 people, and then you can start rushing a bunch of other cool people and build it from the bottom up.
This is the conversation you have with every, let's do a little J Train Theater. This is a new thing since you've been on the podcast. We'll do some J Train Theater.
Okay.
This is, ask, you and I are meeting for the first time,
yeah,
and you want to know, I'm meeting you for the first time. I want to know what fraternity you're in. I'm asking you what, okay.
So
Benjo, nice to meet you. I'm Jared. Where'd you go to school?
Penn State.
Oh, really? Oh, were you in a fraternity there?
I was.
Oh, what fraternity?
Beta.
You were in Beta? Oh, I went to Iowa. We have Beta at my school, too.
And?
You know, they're okay there.
Yeah, that's generally what I hear.
Yeah, but they're different everywhere.
Right.
End scene. That's every conversation about a fraternity.
Yeah.
Nobody, and I hate the conversation because it gets us nowhere.
Nowhere.
They're different everywhere. It's, it's exactly
By
the
way,
point.
I'm not looking to do the fucking handshake with you, dude.
No, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I do my own party.
Yeah.
I hope that
I can't
when
even
I come
do the handshake with my own frat bros at Penn State.
I don't mind that you come. I'm cool with you, but like, here's the thing. They're different everywhere, and that's the end of that conversation.
Yeah.
So you reach out. If you're if you just transferred and your fraternity's there, reach out. Hat in hand.
Yep.
Don't come in there saying, I'm going to change this place for the better. They exist on their own.
Yep.
Okay? And then you go there and you kind of tread in. Go to a few parties. Introduce yourself.
Hey, buddy, you got to rush again. You're not rushing anywhere else.
Yeah.
You're rushing your own house.
Exactly.
That you're already a part of.
Totally.
But you need to do your own research.
Yes.
Don't forget, when you rushed, you were researching houses just as much as those guys were researching you.
Totally. And that's exactly the advice. And it's you're rushing again.
Yeah.
And you go back and maybe it's not for you. And you say, okay, at least I checked it out.
Right.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Here with Benjo from Hair of the Dog. Free drink. First free drink is free thanks to the JTrain Podcast every Thursday in March. Let's do this one. I like fraternity vandalism.
Oh,
this is an interesting one. What's up, MFJB train? Motherfucking Jewish bastard train. Okay.
Is that a first?
That's a first on there. Right. So I don't know if you've heard, but I am a member of a fraternity that got vandalized in South Dakota.
I missed that one.
I missed that one too. Yeah. In case you didn't read the story, which would mean you aren't doing your goddamn fucking job, I think I am doing my job.
Yeah. I didn't even know South Dakota was a state. Yeah. So you just mentioned
just
it.
Now. Yeah. Somebody wrote on the side of their fraternity house, "We date rape." Oh, God. Apparently, it was two guys that were pissed we kicked them out of our party, meaning that they are geeds, or why the fuck would they need to be at our party?
What's
anyway,
a geed?
It's like a GDI.
Oh,
it's like a goddamn independent. And I think it's been, or someone told me it was G'd, but I thought
so
it was G'd.
It's a soft G?
Soft G? I don't know. I
don't know.
Anyways, that's why it's called the J Train podcast now. Yeah. Anyways, we have gotten so much attention from local news and the school newspaper. Our president told us to sit in our room all weekend.
Sit in your room.
I don't feel like we did anything any other fraternity would do. Kicking fucking geeds out of a out of their party, then right. waking up in the morning and cleaning up the mess from the night before.
Right.
We were directed to not talk to anybody about anything and no social media about the event. Oh, good thing you wrote in here.
Yeah, also, nice job, bro.
Also, our president and the GA that lives with us are coming up with what to tell the media. What could we do to make ourselves come out of this in the best possible way? Also, is sympathy pussy a possibility? I love that that's the secondary. Are we going to get fucked because of this? Yeah. I hope to hear answers to my three questions in J-Train fashion. Also, Snapchat, shout out to my bro, Caden Pease. He just moved to Naples, Florida. Send him all the shits possible because we know he's seeing more tits. What do you
he's
think?
In a much better spot than you are because you're in South Dakota and he's in Naples.
Yeah, good for him. Yeah. What do we think?
So first of all, I can actually relate to this from a personal kind of business standpoint because we run a sports bar.
Yeah.
And we're a place that's busy and has people kind of come in and through the doors both ways. And at the end of the day, we just can't keep everyone in there because people don't behave properly and then they can't be in the bar
anymore. You got to kick people out.
So there are times that we throw people out and they cause a scene on the street. Now, whether that's, throwing a milk carton at us, and I don't know why.
A milk carton? Where do they get the milk carton?
They go to the bodega. They're let's throw milk at that place.
That is the nicest drunk antic I've ever heard.
Totally. Or punching the glass and breaking the glass, in which case those people get arrested, or drawing on the big kind of board outside of our establishment.
And also, you know this as the owner of the place. You are connected to whoever you throw out.
Yeah.
That is your crowd.
Yeah.
That is
bothering
the
people that
the
we
neighbors.
Might not let in for whatever reason.
Fine.
So at the end of the day, what you need to do and really what the people that run your school need to do is realize that you didn't paint "We are date rapists" on your own house.
I don't know why they're responsible.
Yeah, because who would do that? And so really, the first thing you guys should have done is have your pledges outside your house.
Cleaning that the fuck
during
up.
During your party, making sure that nobody fucks with your shit during the actual party.
Because
that happens. Mm-hmm. People don't like you. You are a fraternity.
Yeah.
So whether it's other fraternities or GDIs, they're going to fuck with your house.
And they got you in the way they knew they could.
Yeah.
They say, that's the thing with any fraternity guy. You are at the whim of this public conversation that makes you the evil person in every situation.
So when we kick a guy out of Hair of the Dog and they paint a penis on the side of our bar, we just make sure that we're keeping an eye on our place because we care about it. We want to be good neighbors and we paint over it.
Yeah.
But even if for whatever reason it were to remain there for a couple of more minutes or hours or even a day, everybody in the neighborhood would know that we didn't paint a penis on our own place.
I know. That's the thing. What happens with fraternities a lot is that we sit there apologizing at every turn because we know that there's a bad aura. There's just all these bad stories.
Stigma.
And there's a stigma. Yeah. Exactly. And what we need to do, as a group, you have to say, this is horrible. You obviously we didn't want this to happen.
Right.
But I think you what questions could be asked of you that wouldn't be the answer? Like, I think of the Patriots. With this, I've watched these like documentaries on they did this like thing where the Patriots
they deflated footballs and then
totally it's all about deflation.
Right.
And, no, they've they did like a week in the life with the Patriots or like 2 seasons ago, and on the window on the way out it's like a sign, and I don't know if you can find the sign on Manstamp, but the sign says something along the lines of, you represent your team, you represent your organization, you represent your family. Don't screw that up. It's like that. Yeah. It's on the door as you walk out.
Right.
And I think, you know, I get what your guys are trying to do by saying stay in the house. I disagree with that advice completely. I say live your life and understand that anytime someone asks you a question, know who you represent and say the right thing. Say this is horrible what happened.
Right.
We couldn't be more against date rape and all that stuff. We've been good guys, and it took one person to vandalize our house to try and make us look bad.
Here's the thing is we saw, I think, a couple years ago, I think it was maybe at Ole Miss, but it was one of the Southern schools where they came up and they dressed like a KKK guy, or did some sort of
whatever
anti,
it might have been.
You know, it was kind of a racist chant on the bus ride.
Yeah,
the bus ride,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And those guys, I think he might have even been the president of the fraternity, and those guys caught a lot of shit for it. And you know why? Because they deserved it. Because the guy came out from their house and acted like a complete buffoon.
Totally.
This is a different situation.
Different situation.
And so they had to eat crow because they fucked up.
Yeah.
This is a different situation. You didn't do anything.
No.
Nobody was raped.
No.
People are drawing on the side of your house in which you should say, come out and say, this is not how we behave. What you should do is get ahead of it. You should, before this even happens, you should be positive in your community.
Yeah.
You should take part in different charitable events.
Totally. And then when things like this happen, you say,
look at us.
Well, obviously this stinks, but look at all the nice stuff we do. And then go talk to any sorority that hangs out of the house. They like being
part of
Yeah,
they like hanging out with us. We treat them with respect.
And it's like, you know, control the message.
Yeah.
Every time in these situations, it's the guy who gets too angry, and the guy, it's the lie, it's the after effect that makes you look worse than the actual action.
Yep.
So it's like, you know, the denial is worse than the crime sometimes. Right? In this situation, the acting like you did something wrong is worse than the crime. Yeah. Because now you're saying, oh, well, that is who we are. No, it's not who you are. You guys are probably great guys who do well in school and just want to have fun.
You need to
and
be,
you should keep doing that.
You need to be proactive instead of reactive.
Totally.
And so you need to set yourselves up with a positive image, so when stupid shit like this happens, and it doesn't really even happen, you can come and say, look at us. We're actually great people.
Yeah, look at our GPA.
Yeah.
And look at the amount of nice things we do, and look at how great the girls talk about how our house is when we do socials with them. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com.
Hey, it's your boy Ocho, man, of the Ocho Cinco and Dukes podcast. Check out our podcast to hear my thoughts on sports, life, relationships, and the number one thing that means the most to me, love. Find new and archived episodes of the Ocho Cinco and Dukes podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and TuneIn.
We're here with Benjo from Hair of the Dog. Let's do some more frat stuff.
I can do that.
You want to do some more? Non-hazing.
Why?
Hey, Jew bags.
Plural? They knew I was coming?
I guess they knew. I'll keep this short. This isn't anything you have to do on the podcast. Just a short response would be greatly appreciated. I'm getting ready to go off to MSU, and one of the fraternities I want to rush has a big paragraph about non-hazing on their website.
That's a lie.
They have been elected as having the coolest brotherhood on campus 6 years in a row. The closest brotherhood on campus 6 years in a row.
Closest and coolest.
I don't know.
Those are not the same thing.
Yeah, they sound horrible. No, I'm kidding. But they say this. Question, will I have to do a bunch of weird stuff to get in? Absolutely not. We're proud of the fact that we maintain a strict no hazing policy. I'm not going to pretend to love hazing or know much about it. I'm only a high schooler at this point. Oh, it's a high school email. Do we have new? No, not yet. At this point, but I do believe hazing is necessary. I like that he's a high
school guy.
And he believes it's necessary. Yeah. Otherwise, what stops any loser from just joining? From what I hear, it develops a certain closeness in the brothers. What do you think? Are they serious about this non-hazing stuff? I'll provide the link to their website. Not that you need it, but just in case you want more info.
Here's the thing, buddy. I personally will give you free drinks at Hair of the Dog for your entire life once you turn 21 years old.
Yeah.
If you can find me one fraternity who has on their website that they promote hazing.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Right?
Yeah. That they're into it. Yeah.
We're no, very, here at, you know, Sigma Beta Kappa, we promote hazing.
Yeah,
we are pro hazing.
We're going to beat the fucking shit out of you.
You're
going to
have 110 days of getting naked, drinking piss, and feeling each other's genitals.
What is it? Well, that isn't, I mean, I never did that.
No, but you know, like, come on.
No, but I know exactly. You're not going to see that anywhere. What can you advise? You know, we have a lot of high school listeners.
Here's the thing, buddy.
What was your favorite hazing story? Do you have a favorite?
Oh man, do I have a favorite?
You were a hazer.
I was.
You were known as a hazer.
I was, yeah. And I didn't get hazed that much.
You just like doing it.
Here's the problem is that I played lacrosse and then I tore my ACL.
Okay.
And so it was my spring semester during the season and I had like kind of 4 months.
It's amazing what a guy will do with free time and a human at their disposal.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So we won't go too far into it.
But, yeah.
You know, I would say that especially when it was us, you know, at one point I think we got dropped off pretty far away from campus and we had to find our way back.
Yeah.
And that was just kind of like, you know, it was like 10, 11 miles away from campus.
Yeah.
It was a cold night.
Yeah.
We had to kind of there was three of us that got dropped off at the same time and we had to, without cell phones,
figure it out.
And the cool thing that the brothers do is they tell you that they're doing these drive-bys and they're telling you that they're going to come and if they find you, they're going to drop you off double the distance away.
Yeah.
And so every time a car drives by, you jump into the woods.
Yes.
But when in reality, when you become a brother, you figure out that everybody just goes by back to the house and plays Super Nintendo.
Yeah, exactly.
And orders,
or Xbox at this point.
Yeah. But back then it was probably Super Nintendo.
Yeah, yeah.
And orders Papa John 2-for-1 and just gets completely.
Well, this is a great story to tell the listeners that have not joined a fraternity yet. The best fraternity have put thought into their pledge process.
Right.
And they have events, and they're events that are aimed at making you closer with your pledge class rather than tearing you apart.
Yep.
So I would say, you know, because then what happens is you see in the news like people getting in trouble for hazing.
And there's a lot of unsafe stuff that goes on. And, you know, we've both been graduated now for 10, 12 years. And looking back on it, and I don't have kids yet, either do you, but looking back on it, there's a lot of things that I went through that I wouldn't want my child to go through.
And you would, that's the thing, you would hope that, you know, the hazing stuff is all done in good fun.
Right.
And
and some of that can be kind of not really what you would choose to do, but you can do it.
That's the thing. And if you're in a fraternity right now and you're saying, no, we got to get them worse than last year.
Right.
No, you don't. Just do,
or put rocks in a bag and start swinging them around and see who can take it.
Stupid.
Why hurt people?
Yeah, that's the thing. You want it to be in good, clean fun, and be at the. And most houses, like 99% of the houses, they'll make you do stuff that you don't want to really do, but it ends up looking back on it, you're laughing about it with a buddy.
Yeah.
And that's really what it's about. It's not about not being friends at the end of it. You want to be friends with these guys.
Right.
So when you're learning about these houses and you start going around, you know, everyone's going to say what they say about their pledge process.
Right.
I would, you know.
And mind you, not to cut you off, but it's one big mind fuck.
Yes.
Pledging is one
big mind fuck. But that's the best. Those are the best hazings.
So when you're rushing and you're going around and saying, tell me a little bit about your pledge program. Nobody's going to tell you
everything,
what you're doing. They're going to say, hey, it's a long process, but you know, it's great team building. You're going to get to your brothers. They're going to be your best friends in the world. They're not going to tell you that you're going to be up for 48 hours at a time.
That is why it's
painting the living room and scraping the wax off the floor.
That's why it's super important. And I'll say it right now. When you go through rush, introduce yourself, get to know the guys, and make sure that the group of guys are types of guys you want to be friends with.
Yeah.
And not make it about top tier, middle tier. Just, are these guys that I would be friends with in any other situation? And that's the house you go to.
Right.
That's the one you start pursuing. And, you know, be yourself. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Here with Benjo from Hair of the Dog. Let's do, okay, I like this one. No frat or shit frat. Okay. Hey, J Train. Rush is here at my small liberal arts fucking arts college in the Midwest. The Greek life here is worse than the bottom tier frat at any state school. Now, to get to the point, is being in a shitty frat that make you that you make like a few guys in a what the fuck sentence is this? Now, to get to the point, is being in a shitty frat that you make like a few guys and be better than being in no frat at all? Okay.
Who accepted you to their college?
I don't know what school. It is definitely not an English major here. Okay, so he's saying, is being in a shitty frat better than being in no frat at all? I don't want to be seen as a GDI when I'm really not. To give you perspective on what these frats are like, I'll give you examples. No frat houses, 30 people tops at parties, 5 girls at the parties at best. Pledging lasts a week. Lame-ass formals, no spring break trips, full of liberal PC folk. Don't play golf or cornhole. Please help me decide if I should accept a bid just to be in a frat or not accept the bid. Also, is it possible to throw a coup d'etat on the frat and change it completely to be the typical national frat that my other friends are joining at their state schools? Thanks.
Why did this guy go there? I don't understand. You should have thought about this a little better.
I don't know. Maybe you went to college for college, man, Sam.
Listen, here's
I don't think so.
Here's the deal. Is first of all, you did. You totally fucked up going where you went.
Yeah.
But, you know,
well, he's there now.
Greek life isn't great everywhere. It's just not. It's just not great everywhere. So you just described a situation that frankly sucks.
Yeah.
And so you really need to do your research to decide what the better alternative is. You just described a situation that I personally wouldn't want to be a part of.
Yeah.
But you need to decide whether there's a better situation than that shitty situation.
Yes.
And if there's not, then you should just play.
Maybe there's like a golf club.
I don't know.
Whatever it is.
Or just the cool group of independents that hang out.
Go
up and down your dorm floor and try to meet some people.
Yeah, you put a lot of pressure on the frat title, and that doesn't really matter that much.
No.
I know you want an experience, but the experience you want exists at your school.
And you can't possibly compare what you just described to your friends in great national fraternities and big universities.
You can't
because
compare.
They're really living the life.
You gotta do best with what you got.
Yeah.
And that's really, and that involves also going to Rush and keeping an open mind.
Yeah.
Right now, what he has done, he is really negative about this whole process.
Right.
You have to free your mind. Then when you go through this process, free your mind of anything you've heard or seen in a movie or heard about your buddy's school. You are living in the world that is around you. That's all you got.
Listen.
So you gotta go to Rush. You go out, you meet the guys. Maybe you'll go to a house that you heard sucks dick, and then you'll meet like 5 guys in that house. They're like, yeah, we're trying to change this. We're trying to like be a fun place for dudes.
Right.
And you're like, oh, okay, this is the one I'm gonna go to.
Right.
Or you don't find that and you just do your own thing and you find a different place for that.
Think about rushing and joining a fraternity like the new football coach that takes over a major program. Urban Meyer comes to Ohio State after Jim Tressel gets fired for, you know, stupid benefits with Terrell Pryor. And, you know, there's a year of probation, and then Urban Meyer builds this absolute powerhouse.
Yeah.
And he creates this program full of guys that he wants there.
Mm-hmm.
So when you rush, essentially you could be that guy.
Yes.
You rush, you come in, you 3, 4, 10 other guys in your pledge class then decide that the older guys are losers. They don't really matter anymore because they're over the hill. They're about to graduate.
Yes.
They're hanging out at the bars anyway. And then you start rushing the new kids so that by the time you're a senior, you have the coolest house on campus and everyone wants to hang out with you.
Yeah, you got new signs on the walls.
Yeah.
You're slamming play like a champion today.
Yeah.
There's new directives. It's exactly right that you are in charge of how the future goes. You can't be in charge of how the past.
Exactly.
You gotta start fresh. And that you might not find that, but it all starts with getting out there, keeping an open mind, and then saying, oh, okay, here are the 5 dudes that can make this the party I want to be at.
Listen, be a leader. Don't be a tool.
Yeah.
Be a leader.
Yeah.
And if you're a leader, you can bring everybody else with you, and then your place is going to be awesome.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. We're flying through these. We're going to keep on the frat stuff. This is military or frat.
Oh.
We could be changing somebody's life.
All right.
All right, JTrain. I'm going to keep this short and sweet. I have 2 options. I can go to college and get my whole fraternity college experience under my belt, or I can go straight into the military, then get my service and everything through and try and get into a fraternity in college later in life, if I even can. I hope to hear back from you, and the Snapchat shout-out would be great. It's LeviJames14.
Listen, there's a reason why I don't know what the percentages are, but there's a reason why, let's just say, 99% of college freshmen are 18 years old because that's what makes the most sense. And I think that you are primed for the pump at 18 to go to college.
I'm going to say this. We have a lot of, so this is a question similar to a question we get a lot of times. We have a lot of servicemen and women that listen to this podcast.
Sure.
I can't tell you how cool that is for me that they listen and then they send me Snapchats all the time. It's awesome that this can help you in any way while you're doing your service. That's an amazing thing to me. I think that in this day and age, when we went to college, it was just expected.
Yeah.
Like, you go to college. Yeah. I think that mindset has somewhat changed considering the money factor of spending money on college. And so, like, we have a buddy who took a year off before going to school.
Yeah.
And first, let me get one question out of the way. If you go to the military and you come to fraternities later in life, yes, join.
Go through Rush, and try to experience it just like the kids that are probably 6 years younger than you at this point.
Yeah, but I also pledged with guys who were 21.
You did,
and
you were 18.
I was 18, yeah. But they were like the older guys.
You don't want to be 24 pledging with 18-year-olds.
It'd be weird, but also you're signing up for their party.
Yeah.
You can't act above it because you are now in 18-year-old world and just live in that world.
Right.
And I would say, don't be afraid of it, but just know that you are going to be hanging out with younger guys and girls and that'll be fine. So you just have to be okay with that.
I think my cousin went to the University of Colorado, which that place is legendary. I've been to Boulder before and I would argue that it's, you know, top three college towns in the country.
There's a chance I'm going there soon. Boulder's, I heard it's awesome.
Boulder's legendary. Now, he went to University of Colorado knowing full well that he wanted to join the Army. So what he did was he went ROTC, which I think we had a couple guys in our house.
Yeah.
So you do ROTC, you maintain a certain grade point average, and then what I think happens is the Army picks up the cost of your tuition.
There's some sort of plan.
Some sort of an arrangement,
right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so you then go to college. You are required to keep up a certain level of your GPA, in which case you're getting your education.
Mm-hmm.
You then join a fraternity to get your best social experience.
Yep.
And then when you graduate, I think you automatically become like an officer.
You're a little bit higher up, a high level person.
And
you have to be so good at it prepares you for time management because that lifestyle. We had a guy in our house, and now he's in the services.
Yeah.
He did that,
yeah.
And he was amazing at segmenting his time, which I was not good at.
I'm still not good at it.
You have to.
That's why I work in the bar business.
So this is what I'm saying, but this is kind of my advice for this guy: is let's look at your strengths and weaknesses. If you can segment your life like that, that's the road. Go to school, join ROTC, get them to shoulder the weight of the money. If you're sitting at home right now, being like, "Oh shit, I have no money to pay for college. Right. I'm going to go into debt." I think the services is like a great option.
Yeah.
I think it's, I mean, I do think if you're, I just think that looking back, there's a lot of people who would have been a lot better off having college paid for by going into the services first. And
some people aren't ready.
And you're not ready. I think I think taking that year off before college is a great idea. Like a 1 year thing. Yeah. Like it gets you used to, and not to do nothing. I'm saying you go to work or you just get on a schedule and maybe live out of the house or do some sort of program that gets you ready for college. I don't think I was ready at 18. And I look back on that and I can't even believe I got through it.
I can't either.
Yeah. So I mean,
I can't believe you got through it.
Yeah. I can't. So my advice is a little bit, you have to look at the stats of your life. Okay. Is money an issue?
Right. Which this guy didn't say it was.
But listen, for a lot of people, I just know that there was a lot of people that were next to me on either side of me, and I was lucky enough to have college paid for.
Yeah.
And not everyone's that lucky. If I walked out of college with $100,000 in debt and in a job that I didn't like, that I couldn't pay that debt back, I'd be like, what the fuck was this all for?
Right.
Why did I do this? So. Right. What you can do is set yourself up for life knowing that the fraternity system will take you in no matter what at whatever age you come back. They'll take you with open arms. If you come from the service, they'll be like, this is great.
Yeah.
This guy shot a gun. Yeah. Get him in here.
And by the way, you totally, what you do for that house once you join is unimaginable. It gives instant credibility.
To everyone in the house.
Yeah.
That guy was in the Army.
Yeah.
That's fucking cool.
Yeah.
He tells that to everybody would tell that to chicks.
Yeah.
I think.
I mean, maybe keep your PTSD stuff to yourself.
Yeah, well,
but,
listen, we hope you're all doing well. So I just think you want to go whatever's best for you, whatever's going to set you up for the most success. So if I think the most success comes from not having to worry about debt. So if military can solve a debt issue for you, and I don't want to send people to war, I don't want that to happen, but it can be a great experience. I know structure in my life would have helped me.
Yeah.
It would have got me, and that only came later for me. So I think this is my message: is you have to look at your life, money, education, structure. How do those three things work out for you? How will they work out for you in the future? What will set you up for the best? And if your number one fear is that they won't let you into a fraternity at 24, that's not the right fear.
Right. You know? And lastly, think about what's going on in the world. I mean, think about the different conflicts and think about things that, you know, an election that's coming up, for instance. Think about who you want to represent. And obviously, you want to represent the United States of America, but maybe you don't believe in a certain cause or fight or whatever else, and going to college and joining a fraternity and, you know, enjoying what that school has to offer.
I think ROTC gives a good is a good option. I never would have thought. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. We're going to finish out one more email and then we'll go to the hypotheticals and the news and some shout outs. What do we want to read? I just want to fuck. Summer advice. Hotel sex.
Ooh.
Give the long shot a try. Drunk texts.
Hotel sex.
Hotel sex?
I'm not sure what that has to do with.
I work in a lab at my school. There's this girl. She's a 7'6"8 face body personality.
Yeah, okay.
I'm good friends with this girl, but there might be some flirting too. We work on the same project stuff regularly. I am traveling to a conference with this girl for 4 days. Yes, I will be listening to the podcast on the plane as she sits next to me. We are staying in the same room.
Ding.
They couldn't shell out?
Yeah.
Here's the question. Do I make a move?
Yes.
It's only two of us going, so this is a secret secret banging island. We can share fluids and just get back on the boat as if nothing happened. Let's remember that we're going to be on the same boat when we get back. Do I try and provide her with some good time, or do I stay away?
I'll tell you what. This kind of goes back to the first question that was asked today from the girl who said, how does she make a move?
Yes.
This girl who has agreed to stay in your room, I don't want to assume anything.
Sure.
But my intuition of a 33-year-old male who's heterosexual and has, you know, been doing this for a little while, if she's agreed to stay in your room with you on a two-person trip,
you got to feel like you're in.
You're in.
I think the move is you got to tread. I think you play the slow game.
Yeah,
you want to flirt it up. You really want to be sure because you don't want to make this uncomfortable because. Yeah. That night will be uncomfortable, and then coming back to the lab will fucking suck.
Yeah.
I think what you can do, you want to present, and what he's saying with the island stuff that goes back to something I've said on past episodes, you want to present a situation where this is a one-stop shop and it doesn't have to be anything else.
Yeah.
It can continue, but this can be the fun night.
Right.
So you go out, you do your lab shit or whatever nerdy fucking crap you're doing there, and then you go and you say, hey, I got a buddy that told me about this bar. Do you want to go check it out?
Yeah.
And do some research.
Right.
Find a fun bar with music playing or whatever they got going that's in the area within an Uber ride away. And see what she says. If she says yes, okay, that's a good yes. Yeah. That's a good sign. Hey, let's do some shots. Let's get drunk tonight.
Yeah.
I always like that. Let's get drunk tonight.
Listen, you're 75% of the way there by just having this arrangement be the way that it is.
Totally.
The other 25% is what you're talking about. And,
yes.
And that's how you just need to make sure that you're not going to be a complete idiot when everything you get back
to the hotel
room.
Everything needs to be put in a low-pressure tone.
Yeah.
It can't be like, hey, do you want to go out? Like, no, it's gonna be, let's just get drunk tonight.
Pretend you're hanging out with one of your bros.
Yeah, make it a bro night.
Yeah,
and she happens to have a vagina.
Yeah,
yes.
Which JTrainPodcast.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Benjo, thank you for coming on. This was great.
Happy to be here.
Helping the youths of America. You can go find Benjo at Hair of the Dog every Thursday in March. You can get your first drink free by mentioning the JTrain podcast. So go into Hair of the Dog at Hair of the Dog NYC on Instagram. Follow them, support them. Great bar. It's the place to go. It's your base. If you come to New York City, you start there, you get a good drink on, it's cheap. And then you go, you know, you're going to do your clubs or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you come back there.
Yeah.
That's like, I'm there at like 2 a.m.
It's a good pregame and a good postgame. And exactly. By the way, if you needed to be the main event, we can do that
too. You can do that too. So we're going to come back with the hypotheticals, the news, and some shout outs. We'll be right back in a second.
I can't say life's a bitch because of what you make or make. You make your own beat, so you got to land it.
Hey guys, welcome back. We're here with Benjo from Hair of the Dog at Hair of the Dog NYC on Instagram. Thank you for coming on. That was great. I think we helped out the future frat bros. Of this country.
I sure hope so.
I think we did. And if did them not, a solid.
At least they know where to get a drink.
Exactly. Yeah. Mansamp, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
You can find Chris on Twitter at Mansamp in the Mandatory Samson podcast every Friday.
Yep.
Check that out. Let's do, this guy actually wrote in, he wants us to do, instead of a would you rather, if you're going to play Bald, Bush, or Beyond, you've got to play Fuck, Marry, Kill. Here are a couple. Margot Robbie, she has all the money but no fame. Kate Upton, but you have to take a fastball from Verlander to the dick. You'll eventually be fine, but you'll be in excruciating pain for a while. Ronda Rousey.
Oh, boy.
Did you hear what she said yesterday?
I did. That she
said that she, after she lost, she said that she was going to commit suicide. She thought about committing suicide until she looked at her man and said, I need to have his babies.
That's
why she stayed alive. That's what she said.
Yeah, by the way, Travis Brown is her boyfriend. He's an animal.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Who is he?
He's a UFC fighter.
Oh, he's another UFC fighter.
He's a heavyweight fighter, yeah.
It sounds like more and more that Ronda Rousey loved the WWE.
Yeah.
Like, she likes storylines.
Yeah.
And I think that, which she makes her incredibly smart because she knows what the UFC watching public wants to hear. They want to hear that, you know, coming back and, you know, underdog stories.
Yeah.
And I'm not doubting her claims that she was in a dark place.
Yeah.
I am doubting the fact, you know, telling a newspaper that or a magazine makes me say,
Ellen.
Like,
well, yeah, she was
telling
on Ellen.
Ellen makes me think that you are very good at marketing your next fight.
Right.
That's this podcaster's opinion.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, yeah, I mean,
being the experts that we are.
Yeah, exactly. I don't, you know, so I don't want to doubt her public health, you know, their mental health.
Let me just say, I mean, I'm a big fan of the UFC. I follow it pretty closely. To me, it feels like this is an immediate thing. She's on the top of the world. Everybody thinks she's unbeatable. She gets knocked out badly. I mean, like a real bad loss. It's the first, you know, 20 minutes after the loss. I think a lot of fighters that are at that level, they've never lost. They probably, it's a universal thing that they
also,
probably
feel
that
immediately. Also, we also saw Cam Newton's press conference.
Yeah.
Right.
Also, guy looked like he was in a rough spot.
But also in this day.
Right, he didn't get knocked out.
You know, in this day and age, I can't imagine being that famous and having to hear from the trash of the universe. She has a Twitter account. She has an Instagram account. She hears. Frank Sinatra never heard from his fans.
Have you ever heard of Frank Sinatra, Ronda Rousey comparison?
I'm just saying, Frank Sinatra didn't have to hear what Dude in Bumblefuck, Missouri thinks about him.
Yeah. Right.
And you know why? Because he's better than Dude in Bumblefuck, Missouri. Because he's Frank fucking Sinatra.
Yeah.
So is Ronda Rousey. She's Ronda fucking Rousey.
Yeah.
And she had to probably go on a comment page and have to hear from all these people telling her how... And plus, she's a woman, which makes these trash on the internet even worse to her.
Right.
So then she probably had to endure hours, you know, at the least, of people telling her to go kill herself.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is... why the internet is so fucking horrible.
Yeah.
Not everyone deserves a voice.
No.
Not everyone should be on Twitter and have the ability to even have any. There are very few people, this can make me sound like an elitist, but Ronda Rousey's better than most of us.
Yeah.
You know, like I'll include myself in that group. She is a spectacular human. She is at the top of a profession.
Yeah.
99% of people aren't at the top of their profession.
Yeah. Well, and at top of a profession that wasn't going to exist until she existed.
Exactly.
She made it. Insane. Yeah.
She created it. So I could understand. So now I'm going back on my original point. I could understand why she would go to a dark place because you have trash.
Right.
Just coming at you the minute, and plus because she lost, now everyone has a chance to fucking shit on her grave.
What's ironic about this is that this is a fuck, marry, kill, right?
Yeah, who would you fuck, marry, kill?
Okay, so now we're talking about
now I'm gonna kill Rousey. Yeah.
So who you fucking?
Exactly, she's already on her way there.
So we're killing Rousey, right?
She's there.
So we're doing anal with Rousey, right? That's our plan.
All right, I'm in on the it's Kate Upton's Kate Upton. If I have to take a 90 mile an hour fastball from
forget all the bullshit he put in. All right, fuck, marry, kill Margot Robbie, Kate Upton, Ronda Rousey.
I might just kill Margot because I don't even know who she is anyway.
She's the girl from Wolf of Wall Street, the blonde chick. She's also in the new Suicide Squad movie. I think I've mentioned this in the podcast before. That preview for Suicide Squad, people are too excited about that movie.
Oh yeah!
In a like, they used to whack off to the cartoon.
Used to,
yeah. They
I think my process of elimination, because I still don't know who she is.
Yeah.
She's dead.
She's dead to you.
Yeah, she's dead. So she's done. All so I would marry Kate Upton because I mean, you know,
totally. Whatever.
And then Rousey, she's fucking nuts, dude.
Yeah,
she's nuts. Why not?
So you'd fuck her?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm fucking. Yeah, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I'm probably gonna. I'm going to fuck Rousey. I'm going to marry Margot Robbie.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get rid of Kate Upton.
You fuck the one you could hypothetically never fuck. Right. And that is Rousey. I'm never going to...
because we could get the
other
two.
Especially now that I know Travis... what's his name?
Travis Brown.
Yeah, yeah. Come on.
No, I'm just saying, it's very unlikely that I'm going to find a chick who could beat the shit out of me that wants to fuck me. So if in my if I have my druthers, I'm fucking Rousey for the experience of something that I can never really experience. Because I could find a big titty girl... I mean, I'm not going to find Kate Upton, but I'm saying like that hypothetically could happen more than a jacked up hot chick.
Right.
So I'm fucking Rousey. I'm killing Margot Robbie. I'm marrying Kate Upton. I'm with you on that. Done. Because Margot Robbie, like, I just love big tits. So that's just going to stick with that. Let's go to the news.
All right. So this was sent to us. This isn't really a news story, but it was just sent to us by LEG0601 on Twitter. It's a video of this woman who weightlifts with her vagina, and she says it can be empowering.
Wow.
Hold on. Let me see.
Well, she just connects it.
Show Benjo the video.
Oh, fuck.
Where's she connecting the weights to?
Well, I mean, if you think about the makings of a vagina,
it's not even a big. It's not even a big weight. It's colored weight.
Oh, the color, like the ones where like the moms on the elliptical use.
This isn't empowering.
Yeah,
you're still using the women weights. you're not using. I thought it was going to be like a barbell or some shit.
No.
I actually pictured her doing a bench press with her vagina.
Yeah. It didn't.
That's not what's going on.
They're like cock push-ups. You can only do one. Yeah. So I'm not empowered by that. Yeah. Show me a 40.
Yeah.
Right. She's working her way up. You know.
I want to see the weightlifting dust, the chalk.
Yeah, the chalk.
I want to see the chalk being used on the air. Yeah, I want to see the chalk on the vagina to lift this fucking shit.
All right,
not impressively.
So let's do one more news story.
Yeah. All right, so it's a little, you know, it happened already, the Super Bowl, whatever. Peyton Manning after...
We're back after a long, a little bit of a sabbatical for when we taped.
But I like this one because it annoys me and we could talk about it. Peyton Manning after the Super Bowl was like, oh, I want to, drink a ton of Bud Lights or whatever.
Budweiser. I'm gonna drink beers.
I was blacked out at this point.
Yeah. Did you see him kiss Papa John? Was that?
Yeah. No, I did.
That was terrific.
At least he didn't put his balls on his face.
He doesn't kiss his wife. He doesn't kiss his kids. Yeah. I was waiting for the balls. He kisses Papa John.
No, he made sure to put his ass and balls on
some lady's face.
That story is ridiculous.
Yeah, I just saw that today.
So I think it's being drudged up because here's what happens. I'm doing a bit about this. It's cause and effect.
Explain the story quickly.
The story quickly is that in college, Peyton was accused of taking his ass and part of his testicles, but like I think he was just putting his ass on a woman's face, and it happened to have his. This is my interpretation, but he on a trainer's face, and then she was like, "What the fuck?"
That's sexual harassment,
which it is, and then it got like pretry much thrown under the rug for years and years and years.
Archie somehow concocted a plan to get.
Blame it on, and then they blamed it on like a receiver, and like
said that he was mooning his buddy.
It was a whole whatever the story is, and we're not doing a good job of explaining it. All it tells me is that Peyton is the coach's son. He is every coach's son that I've ever known.
Yeah.
The one that's dad has been pushing him and never let anyone else play. Like, oh, we don't need tryouts. My son is here.
Right.
You know, that type of bet. You know, this is a lifetime of getting ahead.
Right.
That this. And listen, I'm going to be a homer for 5 minutes. I'm usually not a homer. This is what all Patriots fans have said for years, okay? That Peyton was always anointed. Everyone wanted to shit on Brady. How do you feel about your boy Peyton now?
Yeah.
That asshole.
Well, by the way, I don't care about Peyton or Tom Brady, but I will say this to your point at the beginning of this news story is Budweiser was stoked.
Oh yeah,
that spot.
What did he say?
He said I'm gonna drink a lot of Budweiser, and he said it twice. And that spot was valued at $14 million.
No way
per spot. I will say this. That after the story came out about Peyton dropping his nuts in some trainer's mouth, Budweiser isn't too stoked.
Just went down a little bit.
The value. I didn't see the most recent valuation.
But he doesn't have to pay for Budweiser the rest of his life, I'm assuming.
Yeah,
I'm sure not. Well, the story essentially was that a craft beer company was like, how dare, why don't you try some real beer instead of talking about Budweiser?
Douchey beer people.
Yeah,
listen, buddy. Okay, this is like the people who care about what TV shows I watch. I don't know you.
Yeah.
Okay, why don't you stay the fuck out of my life?
Right.
Oh, man. Well, thank you for bringing the news.
Yeah, of course.
It just upset me. Let's do a couple shout outs. And then we did this before. The last episode, a few episodes back, we read a poem.
That's right. Wonderful poem.
A wonderful poem that shocked the world. Okay. This poem was fantastic. We're going to make this a weekly segment as much as this guy. This guy's sending in a lot of poems. Okay. So we're going to read his poem at the end of every episode that we have one from him.
Fantastic.
And they're funny and I enjoy them and I'll read them in a British accent or whatever I did last time.
Great.
And we'll just do it. So I'll read a call. Hey, J Train, just started listening to the podcast. Love it. Send my roommate dick shits and no tits for never cleaning up his shit in the apartment. Okay, doesn't put his roommate's name. Sup, J Taint, loving the podcast. Want to send a shout out to my fraternity brother who got me on the podcast, Mr. Kimball Stanton. You're killing it. Go as Rouge Senior as possible in your final semester. His Snapchat name is Mike Stanton 14.
Was Rouge maybe Rogue?
I was Rogue, thinking Rogue.
Maybe
also,
that's
yeah.
what it is.
Okay. I'm here for you, buddy.
Thanks, man. I think he spelled it wrong. Am I wrong? I don't know.
No, it's like Rogue.
Yeah, Rogue. No, it's not.
Oh, he misspelled it.
Yeah, okay. Thank God. instead of shits and tits, send him your balls because he got the biggest pair of anybody I know. That guy came.
He wrote Rouge. I saw it.
Yeah, he did, right?
Yeah.
Send the grossest shit dicks to Bryce Baby with two Y's. Awesome. Great name. He's been a fan of yours forever and has gotten many people to listen. He's also a douche, a chick who listens regularly. Sup, J Train, listen to the podcast on my drive home and wondering about the volume of shits and tits. It's a lot of shits, let me tell you that. Send them my way at caddy_20, CADDY_20. P.S. I sent you a shit last. Then had a conversation with you after, so he really does respond to all his messages for anyone doubting him. I do respond. It's taking up a lot of my day at this point. Let's read this one more. What up, Jay Gasm? New listener here. Heard you on Legion of Skanks, and now I'm hooked on TFM. Thanks, man. I did do Legion of Skanks. If you guys want to check out that podcast, great podcast. I had a lot of fun. Mark Norman was on with me. He's a favorite of ours here, so good episode. Go check it out. It really feathers my nuts. I want to shout out my little brother. He's a few years younger and went to my alma mater. Not a frat guy, but we both played college rugby, and I've noticed similar mentality to Greek life. Anyways, this week is the 1 year anniversary of my little bro's short time hairdresser fuck buddy getting pregnant after a condom broke. This girl was an 885 and covered in tats, but not taking birth control. What the fuck? So she insisted he was the only guy she was hooking up with. At the time, he was freaking the fuck out, but decided to man up. He had just moved to Chicago, so he got a second job, quit spending money on fun shit like booze and partying, and stopped talking to other chicks. He sweated out for about 5 months, going to all the OBGYN appointments and helping her with bills. At about 6 months, out of the blue, she tells him that there was, in fact, another dude she had been fucking and that the timeline wasn't adding up. She got the blood test done and turns out it wasn't my brother's baby.
Ooh.
What a happy ending to that horrible story.
Like, I mean, got cheated on. You know what? God, whatever, that feels good.
If you had to pay $10,000 to then be told it's not yours,
oh, yeah.
First of all, ask for a refund, but if you don't get it, that's a win.
That's a win. You're even. Needless to say, he was relieved and dropped that bitch like a slutty bad habit. Okay. In memory of the shittiest 6 months of his life so far, snap him some tits. The lucky motherfucker deserves it. His Snapchat is Paulie Joe. That's P-A-U-L-Y Joe. Keep the good shit coming. Wow, dude.
Congratulations.
Congrats. Yeah, I guess.
Thumbs up emoji.
Sad for her. I guess. So thank you for sending those in. Keep sending those shout outs if you want to. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Just title it shout out. And thank you guys for coming. Benjo, Hair of the Dog, every Thursday in March. You can go check out, get a free drink, and mention the J Train podcast. Thank you for coming on.
This was fun.
Man Sam, thank you for bringing the news, bringing the heat as usual.
Absolutely.
Let's read the poem. J Train the Sensei, you've shaped my habits. You said in your voice, use a condom, don't breed like a rabbit. But all of your proposals, there's one great technique that I use every day and rhyme about this week. I take your instructions and try to distill them. As you always say, enemies, kill them. Kill them with kindness. Don't you know what this means? You mustn't be pouty. You need discipline like Marines. Let's say your ex ripped your heart in two. Don't flip the fuck out. I'll tell you what to do. Still be a gent and continue to smile. She'll see this as greatness. though it might take a while, if you send them that lame text that rambles and rants, she sure as hell won't get back in your pants. When it comes to an ex, don't burn the bridge. Someday you never know, you might need her couch or fridge. The same, I guess that's from the Nobody Knows What They're Doing in Bed episode. I have no idea. This same sage wisdom can apply in the workplace. Don't hawk proverbial loogies in your coworker's jerk face. Kill them with kindness. Be the cool dude. You'll increase your fuck game with a mellow attitude. If you heed this advice, you'll turn the tables. Your opponent becomes the ass. By comparison, you're stable. But don't be a pushover or you'll be fucking an elf. Be gracious in defeat. This dick ain't sucking itself. Hecklers be damned. Kill them with kindness. The dirty teacher.
Wow. That's fantastic.
This guy's good. I gotta say.
He's really good. We were awesome. Stunned the first time.
Stunned. That's amazing. He keeps bringing heat. So, guys, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the J Train Podcast. Remember to subscribe and listen to new and archive episodes on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and TuneIn.